Words are singularly the most powerful force available to humanity. We can choose to use this force constructively with words of encouragement, or destructively using words of despair. Words have energy and power with the ability to help, to heal, to hinder, to hurt, to harm, to humiliate, and to humble. And this week's opening quote comes from Yehuda Berg. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. The world that we live in is a very different place to what many people perceive it to be. Many people believe that they live in a free world, a free society. They think government is there to protect them and that everything is as it should be. Yet underneath it all is a guiding hand that is leading the world in a certain direction. And no matter what happens on the political theatre, whether it be local or whether it be international, the agenda steadily marches forward and nothing ever really seems to change. Although everybody wants things to get better, they just never do. And through all this, people just go about their lives and go about their everyday business, going to work, going to play, getting educated, going to school, going to hang out with their friends, even going to the government-approved enjoyment zones that have been created for them around the cities and around the complexes, completely oblivious to the surroundings that they're living in. Though not all, because very often people will wake up to the fact that something is terribly wrong, that there's a controlling hand, that their lives are perhaps a lot more difficult than they should be. And perhaps they will start going down the rabbit holes of alternative media and alternative research, and they'll start finding out all these incredible things they didn't know before, and a lot of these things will be appealing. And if what they're looking at isn't appealing, there will be another theory somewhere for them that is appealing. And it will pull them into this rabbit hole, and they'll lock themselves into a belief system, and then they'll think they know what's going on. And they'll start discussing things with their friends, and they'll find all sorts of things there to confirm what they're saying. But of course, the best way to hide a real conspiracy is to create a conspiracy culture around it, and to make everything a conspiracy. And this has been done, and all of the rabbit holes and all the information and all the stuff that people need has been put out there, so that it doesn't really matter which direction that they go, they will still find things that confirm what they're saying, and it becomes an adventure for them. Becomes like a spy novel. You start finding out how corrupt the world really is. You start finding out all these secret dealings and these secret societies. It becomes very exciting to explore these rabbit holes and to see what you're going to find out. And I've certainly been doing it lately with my explorations into ancient history. I've taken a break from all of the 5G and all of the immediate dangers that we see around us, just trying to figure out how we got here. And I've done this, and I've been exploring the past so much lately in an attempt to find out where the split happened and what created the division, and mainly in an attempt to try to heal the division that everybody's experiencing at the moment, because there's so much division between races and belief systems and everything, religions, everything. There's so much going on to divide us at the moment. So I thought perhaps if I could delve into history a little bit and put a broader perspective out there, it might cause people to step back from their division a little bit. I figured if people spend a little bit of time considering what happened in the past, then they might realize why we got here and how we got here and what's been done to us to bring us to this point. And perhaps if we can do that, then we'll see where we're being led. So that's been my motivation there. And sure, ultimately all roads lead to the same place anyway, and these things are important to find out. It is important to discover what happened in the past, but while we're doing this, it's also very important to not lose focus on what's going on around us, because all the while that we are going down these rabbit holes and finding out all these things, the system is still rolling itself out around us, and it's happening very, very quickly. And that's the problem that can happen. People can get stuck in their rabbit holes and they can fail to pay attention to what's going on around them. And all the while that they're down these holes, the world around us is slowly degrading. The system of control that we first saw that woke us up to the fact that something was terribly wrong and caused us to even want to go down these rabbit holes and explore these paths of investigation becomes something secondary to us. It's still there. We're still seeing it, but we're too engrossed in our spy novel version of reality. We get locked into collectivism rather than activism, and we continually want to find out more information. And we get so locked into wanting to know why and wanting to find someone to point the finger at, to really pay attention to the surroundings that we're living in and how different they are becoming. And this is the great danger of a lot of fields of research. They become too exciting. And I'm not saying don't research. Sure, you should research. But don't forget to pay attention to the world around you and to look at what the root core of the problem is, because underlying all of it is the reason that all of these mysteries exist to begin with. When you think about it, you know, why is all the information hidden? Why are all these problems there? They're there because they're legislated to be there. They're there because what we perceive to be governments is not really governments at all. It's a criminal gang, folks. We've got an international crime family masquerading as government that is running this world into the ground and enslaving the people and destroying the environment in the process. And if you really step back and look at it, it's a very, very deliberate action. If you look at the world, there's nothing on this world that hasn't happened because it wasn't planned to happen. All these wars, all this environmental degradation, it isn't just by a matter of chance that this is going on. You know, we're just destroying the world because we're being irresponsible. We're destroying the world because it's legislated to be that way. And you might find that statement difficult to come to terms with, but really it's true, folks. If you look at all the environmental damage, all the stuff that the corporations are able to get away with, they're able to get away with it because it's legislated that they can. All the attempts that we make to stop it, how we get tied up in red tape, we've got to even go and get permission to mount a protest against anything. I mean, this is all because it's legislated to be that way. The legislation is there to create loopholes and to create a veil over any action that we might want to perform to stop all of this corruption happening around us. You know, people become homeless because of mortgages and the money system and everything that's legislated to be there, which creates this problem. You're not allowed to feed the homeless. Why? Because it's legislated that you can't. The homeless can't go and get shelters everywhere. Why? Because it's legislated they can't do that either. All of these problems happen because they're legislated to happen. And if we didn't have government there, then none of this legislation that inhibits our movements and inhibits our lives and decreases our potential a little bit further every day wouldn't be there. It's all there because government exists, which is how they are able to legislate all of these problems into existence. And that's why it becomes important to pay attention, and it becomes important to alert people to the reality of their surroundings. And in this process, as suggested in the opening quote, words truly are one of the most powerful things we have at our disposal. Words can be used to spread information, and if it's done in the right way, they can be used to inspire people. And we certainly need to do this because we are facing a lot of problems at the moment, we really are, and people need to be informed of what's really going on around them. Unfortunately, too many people are stuck looking into their little scrying mirrors, their black mirrors that they're carrying around in their hands, and they're locked into the virtual world, and they're not really paying attention to what's going on around them. Now, the virtual world is so attractive, it's so bright, and lots of colourful icons, and it's always larger than life, even though it is so much smaller than life. But unfortunately, through the massive amount of attention people are giving to the virtual world, they're really not paying attention to the surroundings that they're living in. And the surroundings that they are living in are becoming increasingly more controlled and increasingly less friendly for human habitation. If you really want to look at it, if you really want to look at the damage we're doing to the world, it's getting very, very difficult for people to be able to live anywhere outside major city areas. I mean, sure, there's still a lot of people doing this, but it's becoming increasingly more difficult to do so simply because of the damage that is being done, the pollution that's being done to the groundwater, and the damage that's being done to other aspects of the environment as well, such as the insects and the bees and the birds. This is something that I don't think people are really noticing, the loss of insects that we've seen in the world. I did do a show a few months ago called Everything is Awesome, and the entire show was just sarcasm. And I spoke about how great everything was because all the insects were disappearing and all of this sort of stuff. But this is a very serious issue, ladies and gentlemen. Have you noticed that there's no bugs on your windscreen anymore when you go driving at night? Now, when you go out around dusk, there used to be lots and lots of bugs on your windscreen, and they're simply not there anymore. And the bees are disappearing, and this is very, very dangerous. Now, we're not noticing all of this stuff, and we're so caught up in attempting to deal with things politically, and even with our environmental activism, we may be trying to deal with things on the ground as an activist, trying to go out and save the forests or whatever, but we're not really dealing with the root core of the problem, which is the legislation which is allowing all this to happen. You know, governments have legislated themselves into a position where they're able to carry out massive depopulation programs and call it war, and to destroy the environment around us and call it all legal. And we go along with this because we just believe that this slavery system is legitimate. And the whole thing's racketeering. Everything that these people do is racketeering. The governments are running a protection racket, a worldwide protection racket. And the whole thing is one big puppet show. That's what all these wars are about. You know, wars, as I've said so many times, it's not countries going to war with each other. It's governments facing off against each other and using it as an excuse to wipe out vast sections of their population. And also vast sections of history, ancient architecture, vast sections of our past that we need to know about, such as what they've done in Syria with the destruction of Aleppo, which was a wealth of information as far as architecture and past history goes. And the most obvious byproduct of these wars at home is, of course, locking their own citizens down into a police state under the mythical threat of terrorism, which simply does not exist. You know, all terrorist action that we see in the world is manufactured by government and alphabet agencies, folks. Not one single bit of it is manufactured by the people that they tell you does it. The whole thing's theatre. It's a puppet show. Governments have used terrorism to lock down their populations into tighter legislation since the invention of government. That's what they do, and that's also what they use against the citizens in order to enforce their legislation, because terrorism is defined as violence or the threat of violence carried out against civilians as a means of coercion, and that is exactly what government and police do to their citizens all the time. And that's what these wars are about. They're about depopulation, and they're about locking your own citizens down into a police state. And the suffering, folks, the suffering that comes from these wars, because that's one of the things that is never really addressed. It's just collateral damage, but it's never really looked at from a human perspective, unless it's a picture of a child in a newspaper somewhere. People don't really understand what it's like on the ground for these people. And that's the other side of it. Now, they've estimated that 10 million people will probably die in Yemen from starvation alone by the end of this year. And yet nobody hears about this. The mainstream media simply doesn't report it. As I posted on a news article on my website the other day, the mainstream media, MSNBC, actually mentioned Stormy Daniels 455 times in 1 year. And in that same year, they addressed the conflict in Yemen. Zero. So that's the type of information that they're bringing to the public. And this is the sort of tragedies that are happening around the world because we are allowing our governments to do these things. Do you know the United States military spending in the last 10 years adds up to an average of $8.3 million per hour? Think about that. And what's it all for? What's all this military spending about? Is it really about protecting us to create peace? No, folks, it isn't. Mainly what all of these things are about is depopulation, and it isn't just human depopulation, it's the destruction of all life. I mean, with this massive loss of insects and all the things that are happening as a result of that, this is going to lead to a very bad place if we don't pay attention and start addressing this situation from its core, which is the governments that are creating the problems. You know, and with the rollout of the 5G smart grid, the IoT, the surveillance grid that they're rolling out, this is also a very dangerous thing. It's not only dangerous in the surveillance that it is putting us under, but it's also dangerous because of the levels of radiation that it's going to be releasing, which is going to be very dangerous to human health, and it's going to also increase the damage to the insects and the birds and the bees and everything else. And this may seem insignificant to people, but it's not. You know, if it's doing damage to other life forms, why would human beings think it isn't doing damage to them? It's simply because it's nothing they can see. You know, they can't see these frequencies that are in the air, but they are in the air and they're doing a lot of damage to us. And the problem is that we're just accepting it as legal, thinking the governments can come and do this and roll all this stuff out and come and put these meters on our house and put these 5G boxes everywhere. We're just going, oh, isn't this terrible that they're doing it? But we're not actually addressing the root core of the problem, which is the fact that these governments are causing harm against their populations. You know, and it comes in acknowledging that one basic fact, that the real reason we even have societies and the real reason we have a legal system and a police force and judges and lawyers and all this sort of stuff is to prevent the causation of harm. So why do we allow harm to be caused to us so readily? And the reason is we simply don't look at things this way. We don't look at things logically and put things into perspective. And the problem is that most people have forgotten that politicians are just people, the same as them. Just people. They just do everyday things the same as other people do. But because we see them on TV and they wear these suits around and they meet in this big building, we think they're so important and we have to do what they say. But really, they're just people that we employ to manage infrastructure for us. And we have a legal system to make sure that everybody's safe. Apparently, isn't that why we created a legal system? Well, that's what we're told anyway. I mean, really, it's all fiction anyway, but you may not like that. You may think, oh, no, we need a legal system and it's not fiction. Well, okay, that's fine. If you believe in the legal system, then let's look at the legal system and what it's really supposed to be and what politicians' role in the legal system is. Because ultimately, a politician is just a man, the same as everybody else, which should not put them above the legal system. That is, of course, if the legal system is real and the law that we consider to be law is real. You know, we created a legal system to prevent the causation of harm and to provide remedy if that harm is caused. And if, due to legislation that's been enacted by politicians, we are unable to address the fact that smart meters and this whole 5G grid is causing harm, and so the politicians who are enacting the legislation, which has allowed these things to be installed, are all in abuse of office, we should be able to charge them with that and have them removed because they're causing harm. And if we can't, then thank you for the demonstration that we do not have law on this earth. We do not have a legal system that supports the people. We have a legal system that is designed to protect the criminal activities of politicians, and that's a big difference. You know, and we really have to step back at this and comprehend what is happening here with this whole 5G IoT rollout that's happening, where it all really leads to. You know, it's not being done for our convenience. It's being done to lock us into this smart grid and to provide access to every single aspect of our lives, to be put us under mass surveillance on every single electrical appliance that we plug in, which will all be smart, which means they're all connected to the smart meter wirelessly. And anything that is connected to anything wirelessly tracks you. It spies on you. It listens to you. You know, any clock radio that you have in your room, which is connected to Wi-Fi, to a smart meter, is listening to you while you're lying in bed having a conversation. You've got your fridges listening to you. You've got your toasters listening to you. You've got your smartphones listening to you. You've got everything listening to everything you say everywhere, everybody all the time. And with the 5G smart grid that they're rolling out, the fact that it's also capable of active denial means that they can pinpoint you, track you, target you for active denial, disable you at any point, at any time of the day, limit your purchasing power through social crediting, the whole thing. I mean, it's a very, very ugly scenario that they're setting up, folks. But again, a lot of it is the radiation aspects. This is something people just aren't taking into account. But when you do take it into account, really all you've got to do is go and look at the latest Harvard studies, and they all recommend that you should not have smart meters installed on your home. When you take all of it into account, folks, you look at the privacy aspects, the lack of privacy aspects, you look at the radiation damage, you look at the mass surveillance, you look at the fact that they've been stripping our rights away from us from every single possible angle that they can ever since 9/11, and you soon begin to see that even if you want to put all of that other legal stuff aside, even if you just want to look at the health aspects of 5G, the governments are causing harm, and by legislating that we must have these 5G meters and boxes around the place, they've actually legislated themselves out of any position of power, because according to the legal system, which was put there to prevent the causation of harm, by causing this harm, they have rendered themselves illegal by their own actions. So I think it's time that we dismissed all of our governments and held these criminals accountable for their actions. And if we can't do that, And again, thank you for confirming that we have no law, that the legal system is not designed to provide a remedy in the causation of harm, but rather it's designed to cover up and protect the criminal actions of politicians, all of whom sit in abuse of the office that they hold by delegating themselves powers that they have no right to have, because they are certainly not powers that have been delegated to them by the people, which again is what we are told is the basis of any democratically elected government. And I'm retouching on this topic again today, folks, simply because I've been going down this rabbit hole of history lately, and I want to continue going down this historical rabbit hole and see if I can get some more information out to you regarding some of the stuff I've been looking at. But at the same time, like I said, it's very important that people pay attention to this 5G grid that's rolling out around them, because it's still rolling out, and it's very important that people get involved. Now, so many times I've mentioned the In Power movement to you on the show here, and these guys have made a difference. They've stopped smart meters in Hawaii, and there's also huge movements on the ground in New Mexico. A lot of people are standing up to this, and that's the thing, folks. You can stand up to it, but you have to get involved yourself. They're going to come and put one of these things on your house if you don't stop them yourself. You can't sit back there and wait for the newsletter and hope someone else is going to do it for you. You need to at least lodge one of these affidavits, or find someone who has lodged one of these affidavits, contact the Empower movement, find out where they've been lodged, get hold of these liability notices, and if someone comes around to put one on your house, you give them one of these liability notices and tell them to go away. And if you're not prepared to do that, they're going to put one on your house, and they're going to be spying on everything you do and locking you into this social crediting system and this smart grid. And a lot of people really don't understand what the social crediting system and the smart grid and the IoT is really about. You know, the IoT seems very attractive to a lot of people. The Internet of Things, it seems very convenient not having to use a car or use cash, just be able to shop, go and pick up whatever you want from the shop and walk out. It's all good. The cash is automatically deducted from your account. You don't have to worry about tellers, any of this sort of stuff. Just go and pick everything up. It's like it's all free. It just deducts from your account. But what it leads to is a very, very dystopian future. You know, when everything has an IP address and every transaction is tracked and every statement everybody makes is tracked and every word everybody utters is tracked and listened to, it becomes very easy to control people, because they can control you by simply limiting your purchasing power. Once it all goes digital, if you start saying things the government doesn't want, they can limit your purchasing power. They can limit your access to certain services the way they're doing in China now. And imagine the terror that that puts over people's minds. You know, a young kid just being told that they can't access the internet because they said something wrong. And what they said may have been something that they were having a hypothetical conversation with their friend in a private space. But their phone or their toaster or their clock radio or whatever overheard them. And they overheard them having these conversations just too many times. So they put a black mark against this person's name, and suddenly this person is denied access to certain services. And if that happens to the person, then there's no appeal process. There's no one you can call. There's no one you can ring. There's no one you can email. There's no complaint form to fill out. You're simply locked out because you're considered untrustworthy. And you're considered untrustworthy because you're simply not complying with what the government wants you to do, or thinking the way the government wants you to think. And once you're considered untrustworthy under that program, under that algorithm, then you're always untrustworthy. You never get access to these services back. If you're a young kid and you're dependent upon the internet, everything's virtual. The whole life of many of these young kids today is all in the virtual world. It's all on Instagram and Snapchat and all the things they do. If they get threatened with being locked out of that world, you've got these kids right under your thumb, you know, and just the pressure of that, the pressure of not being liked, the pressure of being ostracized, the pressure of thinking differently to the way everyone else is thinking and not being a popular person on Instagram, and then if you say anything about it, to actually get locked out of those services and then not be able to buy a plane ticket or a train ticket or rent a house or do any of the things that normal people do simply because you said things that the government didn't like, because they were listening to you off your private appliances in your house. And so now when you go to the shop and try to buy things, there's a whole bunch of stuff you can't buy because you're just simply not qualified for those services. Just the threat of that, You know, being locked out of the virtual world, when your whole life is in the virtual world, just that threat is enough to get just about anybody to comply with pretty well everything you want them to do. And imagine living in a world like that, folks, where everything is spying on you. It'd be like 1984 on steroids, not just your TV screen watching you and how he had the safe place in the corner of his room where he could go and write in his notebook. In the world that's been created, you won't even have that safe place. You won't even be able to have a quiet conversation with your lover in bed because there'll be appliances in the room that are listening to you. How will you ever be able to have a creative conversation or think outside the box or discuss anything with anybody? How will you ever even be able to think anything outside the box or think or say or do anything you want to do? How could you ever be anything that could even be construed as in being in any way free? And that's the type of dystopian future that we're allowing the governments to roll out around us. And not only that, folks, if you do get blacklisted in that sort of a environment, there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to hide. There's nothing you can go and do. There's nowhere you can go and stay. No one you can go and visit. No place you can get away from the system because the system is everywhere. Complete blanket surveillance of everything. And in that type of a society, folks, the mere threat of thinking the way the government doesn't want is enough to make everybody comply. And in that sort of a reality, the government can do anything that it wants with anybody that it wants. And it can do so without any accountability for its actions, rape, pillage and plunder and harvest the human herd with absolutely no recourse at all. That's the way it's going, folks. That's the system governments are putting in place simply because we are not really paying attention. We're letting them roll it out, and unfortunately many people are simply buying into it under the guise of convenience. And it's very important that with everything we're researching, we continue to keep a focus on what this 5G grid is doing and get active on the ground to stop it. Because it's only you who can stop what is being done to you. And when it's something personal like a meter being put on your house or a 5G box being put outside your house or a piece of technology they're asking you to use, you have the choice to not do that. You have the choice to make a noise about it, complain about it, and not let them put this surveillance equipment on your house, in your home, and not use the tech that they're giving you. And that's the thing, folks. It all comes down to an individual choice, and it's come down to that now. It's on the ground with everybody. It's facing everybody. It's come right to your backyard now. And we always said people wouldn't do anything about it until it was in their own backyard. Well, now it is, folks. So now's the time that you have to make a stand. But anyway, folks, I think we've reached break time here, so I'll leave it there for now, and we're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so it's kind of interesting because the problem that we're facing is a lot of people don't really realize what the New World Order is. They don't really realize that it is the smart grid, it is the Internet of Things, the digitization of cash and the social crediting system that's going to go along with it. That's why I don't place too much faith in all the stuff that people are waiting for from QAnon and waiting for Trump to come and save the day. You know, Trump hasn't addressed any of this. And on Trump's watch, they're still spending $8.3 million per hour on war. On Trump's watch, Israel is continuing to wage massive terror waves against the Palestinian people, stealing vast amounts of land in West Bank, and really has gone over the top because they know Trump is backing them. On Trump's watch, they're still bombing the living hell out of Yemen. You know, we hear reports about this. We get fed this information, like from the UN saying, oh, we're expecting 10 million people to die in Yemen by the end of the year from starvation alone. But they just tell you that. Oh, we're expecting this. We're not going to do anything about it, but we're just letting you know that this is the way we're going. And this is all happening on Trump's watch. There's been 170 people killed in Palestine since March, since Trump moved the Israeli embassy to Jerusalem. And it's all very well to sit back and say, well, Trump's going to take care of Bibi Netanyahu and all of this stuff's going to be taken care of down the track. But while you're saying this and while he is playing 4D chess, as it were, people are dying. They're continuing to die. Israel has just moved all of the white hats out of Syria. They're still running ISIS. They're still running the whole campaign against Syria. The funding is still going to Saudi Arabia to keep bombing Yemen. DynCorp is still running all the war operations, so all of the human harvesting is still happening. With all the talk of pedophiles that have been arrested, I haven't seen any major players being arrested. Hillary Clinton's still out there living it up. And it's just all of these theatrics going on to convince people to sit back and wait for something wonderful to happen. And what they're really asking people to do is to sit back and wait for government to save them from government. And I can't really see how this is going to work, folks, because no matter what Trump does from this point, the IoT and the smart grid and the digitization of cash, the taking over of all trade by Amazon. I mean, Amazon is set to become the worldwide department store for everything, which is going to be a very bad place to be as well. And all of this is happening on Trump's watch. None of it's being addressed. All of this political posturing is taking place. All of this theater is being presented to the people, but nothing is changing. Nothing is being done to address the actual problem, which is this smart grid that's rolling out underneath everything, while everyone's so caught up in the theatre. So the question is, what to do about it? What are the solutions? And that's the thing. Everybody wants solutions. That's what so many people say to me. Where's all the solutions, Max? And the real problem with that is that people want solutions without really having to participate in them themselves. I mean, sure, we could create a new system and say, well, let's replace the old system with this system, but it's still a system, and people are going to find criticism with it anyway. And they've tried that with so many other ways people have tried things, Venus Project, you name it. All manner of things that people have tried to construct a new system to lead us into, and no one wants to do it. People just want to be saved without having to participate themselves. They don't really realize that they could change things if they were to participate simply through their non-participation, which is really the best way to participate in change, as backward as that sounds, but it's true. You know, 10 years ago, I put out a film called Fight the New World Order with Global Non-Compliance, saying then that all we had to do was stop complying with the system and it would cease to function. And that's still true, but it's become quite obvious that people are not going to stop complying with the system. You know, even on the shows here, I've recommended people always shop with cash and to throw away their smartphones, use their computers, use something else, but just don't carry this tracking device around with you that's listening to everything you do. Don't install things like Facebook Messenger because it tracks absolutely everything you do, not just what you do on Facebook. It tracks everything you do. You know, what we're actually doing by having these things, having smartphones on us all the time, is we're buying the surveillance equipment ourselves that the government wants to use to track us, and we're paying for it. We're allowing ourselves to be under permanent surveillance, and we're paying for it. So I've suggested that people don't do these things, that they don't use smartphones, or they don't shop with cash. It's obvious that that's not going to happen. People are addicted to their smartphones. They're addicted to buying things with cards. So it's all going to go digital because people are allowing it to go digital. So what's the solution then? Because if people are going to comply with the tech and they're going to use the tech and they're going to participate in the slavery system, then there has to be a way through it by still using the tech. I mean, admittedly, there are things we can do in the real world, such as the liability notices against the smart meters. We can stop this from happening. We can stop this physical infrastructure from being rolled out. We can stop the 5G system from being rolled out if we're diligent and if we actually get involved on the ground. We can stop this, folks. But the tech, I don't think people are going to put it down. They're addicted to it, and that's just the way it is. And people aren't going to go back to shopping with cash, which means it's going to go digital. And so what's that going to look like? Because what will happen in that scenario is the government will develop their own blockchain. I mean, they're looking into it now. And that's the way it's going to go. The government is going to develop its own blockchain technology, and it's going to switch over to cryptocurrency. So what do we do in the face of that? And even looking into this side of things, there's a huge taboo about cryptocurrencies. People are very, very scared of cryptocurrencies. They think that the blockchain is this big evil thing and it's all going to go in this one direction. But even in amongst that, there are independent people that are working outside of what the government would be wanting to create. You know, the government is letting these people create the blockchain that they want to co-opt and use, but they're not going to be able to because there's still independents that have serious control over what's going on in the blockchain world. That's the thing, you know, a lot of people have just got this bizarre idea about it, but they're not looking at how it's all going to work. And I think people need to pay attention to it because the problem is that if they don't, the government will do it anyway and they won't even notice it happen. You know, having looked at a lot of the cryptocurrencies, there are cryptocurrencies out there such as Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, even though these are flawed, there's things such as EOS, which is a great idea. In fact, EOS will probably be the cryptocurrency that everybody picks up because you can use this without transaction fees. And there's a lot of people out there that are working to create decentralized cryptocurrencies that we can use, which will still keep us in a state of financial freedom. And that's the thing, folks. You know, you might be completely against cryptocurrencies, but at the same time, if you're going to be out there and you're going to be continuing to shop with your smartphone, you're going to be continuing to shop with Amazon, you're going to be continuing to shop with a card, with a digital card and not using cash, the government will simply change it over to cryptos and you won't even notice the transition. The bank will just issue you a new card and they'll inform you that we're now using a cryptocurrency. And you won't even notice the difference in your shopping. You'll just continue on with what you're doing. So if you're going to be in that world anyway, then what you should be doing is supporting the independent cryptocurrencies, which are completely decentralized and free of government regulations. Because, as I said, folks, if people are not going to put down their smartphones and they're not going to stop participating in the surveillance system themselves, then they have to find a way through the surveillance system that's going to work for them. And if you're not going to stop shopping with a credit card, then the world's going to change over to cryptocurrency. And it's simply due to people's participation in shopping digitally now, in shopping without cash now. Like I said, they won't even notice the transition when it happens. So these are the sorts of things we have to consider. You know, we've got to look at the way things are going now, look at the direction things are going, and nothing's seriously being done to stop it. And I've done everything I can. I mean, I've put films out for 10 years. I created the Full Circle Project to get people involved on the ground. They even sign up to the project, but they still don't want to get involved on the ground. They still just want to participate in this digital world and read the newsletter to tell them the world has been saved. So again, what we have to do is find a way that's going to work for us in this new system, because obviously it's changing over. You know, they're calling it the second industrial revolution. What's happening? And what we have to do is find a way of gaining control of the direction it's going to go, because it's going to go that direction because no one's stopping it. As much as we may think we are, even with all the activism that we're doing, even with doing these radio shows and all the stuff that we attempt to empower people to do, like I said, folks, if they're not going to do it and they're going to continue to shop with cards and use their smartphones, then we have to find an alternative. And the alternative, I would say, is to start looking into some of these alternate cryptos so that we can at least maintain financial freedom through whatever transition is coming. I know there's going to be a lot of people out there saying, oh my God, Max is supporting the cryptocurrencies and it's the devil's currency and whatever. You're just not looking at it clearly, folks, because there's no way we're going to go back to gold and silver. Not now. It's just not going to happen. Gold and silver are still a great investment. They're going to be worth more than dollars are soon. But the reality is that the only way we're ever going to go back to a gold or silver-backed currency is if we overthrow government completely right around the world and start again. And I really can't see that happening. So we need to be sensible about all this and find the correct way and the most effective way through what is coming. And like I said, if it's all going to go digital anyway, which it is because no one's doing anything about it, then it's up to us to make sure that we are in a state of independence when that digital system comes online. And that can only be done through an independent cryptocurrency and not via the cryptocurrency that the government is going to be introducing, whatever that turns out to be. And mark my words, they will introduce one. It'll all end up on blockchain. Everything will end up on blockchain. And all you have to do to confirm that is to look at things, folks, because that's just the way everything is going. And the problem is that if we do end up using a cryptocurrency, if it is a government-controlled cryptocurrency, then we are going to end up locked into a slavery system, which is going to be one like no other. And so if that's the way it's going to go, which it is because people are continuing to use their tech and they're continuing to shop with cards, then it's up to us to choose a different direction, folks, and support the independent cryptos. It really is. It's getting to that time because it's going to go digital. It's going to go crypto. It's going to go blockchain. And so that's just something to think about. And that is one way you can stop supporting this system and at least give yourself financial independence so you're not supporting the war machine through the transition. If you're not going to do anything else, that is one thing people can do. But through it all, folks, do continue to maintain a focus on this 5G grid and what it's going to do. And there's been a lot of people putting out stuff how this is going to be a kill grid and all sorts of stuff, and there's a possibility of that. I don't think it's just going to be this massive kill grid that they roll out and switch on and kill everybody. I don't think that's what they're going to do with it. But it's going to slowly kill people and fry them anyway, simply due to the radiation that it's putting out. And its potential for manipulation, energetic manipulation, mind control, all sorts of stuff. And all you've got to do is read the patents that they've put out themselves to explain their mind control techniques to you, how they do it all electromagnetically. Now, people forget very often that they are, more than anything, an electromagnetic being. You are an energy being, more than anything. Everything you experience is due to the transfer of energy, signal flow. You know, you are releasing an electromagnetic energy from your heart, and you are also drawing in electromagnetic energy from the field around you. You know, it's well proven that they can intercept signal flow in your body. They can implant images. They can implant voices. They can implant all sorts of things. They can give you itchy sensations. They can give you sensations of pain, fear, nausea, all sorts of stuff, folks. And this is all in their own patents. And it even goes deeper than that when you look at what reality is. And it's an emotionally based reality. I've gone through this so many times, and how they can affect us on such a deep level with this 5G grid is truly profound. You know, and as I said, the damages it's going to be doing as well, you know, the health defects, the cancers, thyroid problems, all sorts of things they can do with this. Now, they're even putting out stuff now where you can wipe your mind with your television if you want, so you can enjoy your favorite TV show again. Your Samsung TV are suggesting this type of technology. There's websites that will offer you this option if you would like to forget your favorite television show and things like this. So imagine what they can actually do that they're not telling you about. And like I said, all you've really got to do is read the patents that these people put out themselves to see what this type of technology can actually lead to. So it's really time for people to pay attention and for people to withdraw their support from the system and get motivated on the ground. You know, imagine if everyone switched over to an independent cryptocurrency now and then made a huge stand against the 5G system and everyone put in liability notices against the smart meters. With those two actions, you would completely stop their smart grid being rolled out, and you would completely pull financial support away from the system. Now, people started trading in independent cryptocurrencies rather than a fiat-based currency, so that all your transactions are non-taxable. The government doesn't know what you're doing. You're just trading with cryptos and doing your normal business the way you normally do, completely free of any type of government control. That's what cryptocurrencies could do if you use the right ones. And that's a great thing to do, but at the same time, like I said, you've got to be active on the ground and stop this 5G grid from being rolled out, because there is the potential for it to be used as a kill grid. There is the potential for it to be used as prison walls. There is the potential for them to target particular individuals for active denial and deny them movement, deny them access to services. All sorts of things are possible with this smart grid. It's just not a smart thing to be allowing our governments to do. It really isn't. No matter how you look at it, it's not a smart thing. Even if you simply want fast communications, this simply isn't an intelligent way to do it, because of the health damages and the side effects and the potential for abuse and misuse. So it's simply not something that we should be doing. But again, it's something that's going to happen unless we make a stand on the ground in our communities to stop it happening. That's the thing, folks. Now, that's what the solutions are. The solutions are with the people, and I've been saying this for many, many years. No one can formulate a plan for you if you're not willing to put that plan into action yourself. No one can come along on a big white horse and save the world. You know, the world is a whole bunch of little independent communities and little independent people in independent houses that all have to stand up for themselves and remember who and what they are. And remember that we don't need this slavery system. We used to live in a world of cooperation. I'm absolutely certain of it. And we can do that again if we can just be prepared to put down all of our differences, put down all of the division, put down all the distrust. You know, it's the people against the system, really. And even a lot of the people who are working in the system hate the system as well. They don't want to be doing what they're doing. They just do it because they get good wages to do it, and they need the money because they've got to pay to be alive. And they don't have the support of the community around them anyway. But if the community around them at large was to just pull their support from this system completely and simply say, hey, no, we don't want to do this anymore, then the system has nowhere to go. The system ceases to function because we are the ones who supply all of the energy to the system via participation in the system. That's the thing. And like I said, it's obvious that people are going to keep participating. No matter what you say, no matter how much you tell them what the solution is, non-compliance, they're going to still do it. They're going to still continue to use the tech. They're going to still continue to shop digitally. So, again, we've got to find a way through that and find a way that people can still do this and still use the tech and still shop digitally, but not support the system in what they're doing. So again, it comes back to independent cryptos and thinking about what you need for bandwidth anyway. Do you really need 5G? Do you really need everything to be that fast, so fast it's going to fry your brain and give you cancer and thyroid problems? I don't think so, folks. Really, do you need downloads to be that fast that it's going to kill you to watch the movie, which is what it's going to do? I don't think that's a very smart thing to be doing. So we've got to start thinking about all this, folks, and start thinking about how we're participating in our own slavery and what changes we can make to stop doing that. And realize that not everybody out there is controlled opposition. Not everybody out there is working against you. Some of these crypto guys are genuinely looking for ways through the system, ways to give people financial independence. Many of these people are complete anarchists at heart. They don't want government to be there at all. They want self-governance. And self-governance comes with self-independence, which in this world, unfortunately, needs financial freedom and financial independence and financial security. And you can get that through cryptos as well. So again, it's just something to think about because that's the way we're going, folks. That's the way the government is taking it. And really, when you want to look deeper at it, it's the way we are taking it, again, through our participation in this digital system anyway. You know, we're leading it there ourselves. So like I said, folks, we got to realize that and take control of the reins and lead it where we want. And quite honestly, folks, I'm beginning to wonder how else we're ever going to do it. You know, I can't see how we're ever going to be able to create any unity on the ground with people. I've tried this in the last few radio shows, my revisiting of history, trying to find common roots of all races and try to provide the validity for all races and look at something positive for all races. Even my attempt to do that and to look at everything openly and objectively and look at everybody equally and evenly has been construed by people as being racist. It's absolutely incredible. So, you know, the division is so deep in our community. The division is so deep in the truth movement. The trolling is so incredible and the distrust is so rampant. You know, the last 3 or 4 years, the distrust in the truth movement has actually quadrupled in level. Now, where there was a wave building, it just suddenly broke onto jagged rocks. And that was incredibly unfortunate to see, but it's been hugely beneficial for the system. And so we've got to look at this. We've got to notice the divided state that we really are in. No matter how much we try to unify people, they're going to remain divided. It's pretty obvious. I've been doing this show for 10 years, calling out for unity and asking for people to put down all this stuff and respect each other. And it seems to have really gotten worse in so many ways. I mean, it's gotten better in some ways, in some levels, with some people and some sections of society. I mean, there has been a lot of people waking up. There has been a lot of people seeing that the government is corrupt and a lot of people seeing that the system is unnecessary. But it's finding some common respect in the people. Unfortunately, the people can't even respect that issue that they're all facing, that common problem. They can't simply allow each other to agree to disagree about whatever details they're looking at, whatever research they're doing, and address the common problem that they're all facing. That's been an unfortunate thing, and it is pretty rampant in the community. And that's really what people need to do, just agree to disagree and realize that all the problems that you're addressing, all the research you're doing, all the mysteries you're exploring, all exist because they're legislated to be there. And if you were to realize that you're all just arguing and shouting at this wall rather than turning around and looking at who built the wall, perhaps you'd be able to get somewhere. Because as soon as we can put down our differences and turn and face this system and simply call it out for what it is, the system will cease to exist. And then all the doorways of all of these mysteries and all of the things that we always wanted to know will be open to us. And we'll actually have the freedom to lead the human experience in the direction we'd want to lead it to. You know, and all we have to do to achieve this is identify what the real problem is, folks. And the real problem is government and our participation in this system of slavery that they have created. It really is time for us to notice this because that's the only way out, is to realize that we are the ones who hold it up. I've said it so many times that it must get repetitive and boring, but I continue to say it because it really is true, and that is the solution to the problem, and that's the truth. Well, we've reached that time again, ladies and gentlemen, where we are almost at the end of the show. I cannot thank my listeners enough, really, and my YouTube supporters as well for hanging in there the way you have, and all the new supporters I've got on YouTube as well, all the new subscribers. I can't thank you enough for coming to listen to what's being said. I certainly have received a plethora of positive comments lately. I've received a lot of trolling too, which is also very telling. One person actually commented that they think that I might possibly be the most trolled person on YouTube when they read my comments. And it does get very tiring, folks. So in a way, I suppose it does say a good thing in some ways, because you don't get the flack if you're not over the target. And many people have noticed their subscriptions are dropping off as well. And that's something I would like to point out to people. If you have subscribed to my channel, please do continue to check your subscription to make sure it sticks, because YouTube has been deleting my subscribers for many, many years. That's why it's taken me 10 years to get to 100,000 subscribers, because they just keep deleting my subscribers, so it never really rises that fast. I also find that even if you are subscribed to my channel, you may not get alerted to uploads, and you might very likely have to go and check my channel personally to see if the uploads are there. Another thing they do with my channel, they probably do it to other channels as well, is that if you don't cast an upvote on the video, if you go back and check later on, you'll probably find that YouTube has cast a downvote for you. And I suggest that they probably do this with a lot of channels as well, so don't go by the downvotes you see on a lot of videos, folks, because I'd say a lot of these are the result of algorithms that YouTube simply does because people don't bother to vote. So if you do like the video, do be sure to put an upvote on there and perhaps go back a little bit later and check to see if it still is an upvote and check to see if your subscription is still holding on the channel. And a word with emails as well, folks. I've really been receiving a lot of emails lately, like so many emails, and it's very difficult to answer all of these emails that I'm getting. When I get emails that are short emails, sometimes I can give a short response. But when I get emails that are, 1,000 words or 2,000 words, and I get 10 or 20 of them in a day, it becomes almost impossible to find the time to read all of these emails and to give them the responses that they deserve. You know, if you would like to talk to me or anything, if you have a lot of questions you'd like to talk to me, please feel free to send me a message and we can perhaps hook up and have a chat and we can have a quick discussion and get it done that way rather than sending me a long email and hoping for a response, because quite honestly, folks, there's just one of me here doing all this. You know, everything you see from the Crow House, it's a one-man effort, all of it. And I don't have anyone to read emails or respond for me. And while I'm doing the shows and doing the video editing and doing research and meeting with people and trying to make films and just have a life in general, apart from all of that, it becomes very, very difficult to find time to answer lengthy emails. So if you could just keep it short, and if you really do need to have a chat, perhaps we can work something out, hook up a Skype conversation or meet in a video room or something. We'll work it out so we can have a chat. But I really find it almost impossible to answer the amount of emails that I'm getting. So please do bear with me on that, and I do ask for your understanding in that regard. Perhaps I could even set up a live stream on YouTube once a week for half an hour or an hour or a couple of hours or whatever. I don't know how that would go down or whether anyone would want me to do that. I have had a few requests, but I'm just not sure how it would go. I've never done a live stream on YouTube or anything, so I don't know, but it's just an idea. Perhaps I could do that at some stage if there's any request for it or if there's any desire for that to happen. Maybe that's one option. Or I could just set up some sort of a private video chat, so anybody who wants to have a chat can contact me and we can work it out. But thanks again, folks. Thanks for tuning in today. Thanks for continuing to listen to the show. And we can make a difference with all this 5G stuff. It's not over yet, folks. We can make a difference if we stand up for ourselves. We just got to realize that we're just dealing with people here. And if we ask the right questions, then they really back themselves into a corner by their own responses, because ultimately logic prevails. And once we can get people in the community to see this and think a little logically themselves, I think we will make a difference. And that's where the solution lies, and that's where it's always been. It's been with the people the whole time. Just very often they fail to see that. And again, I will be speaking at Anacapulco next year in February. You'll find a banner to that on my website. And if you use the coupon CROWHOUSE, you'll find you'll get a discount on your tickets. But again, thank you very much for tuning in with me today. Thank you to all my listeners, all my Patreon supporters. Again, you are the only people who keep this show on the air, so I cannot thank you enough. And I'll look forward to speaking to all of you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.